Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. I'm your host, Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. This ministry exists to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to do three things: to pray for our elected officials and our nation regularly, to vote in every election to impact our culture, and to engage in some form of civic education or involvement for the well-being of our nation.
So thankful, Bunny, for what you do. A lot of people talk the talk, but you really walk the walk.
I love it, love it. Love teaming up with you, Bunny. So excited about what you're doing and the people you're reaching.
And I will stand and lock arms with this woman of God, Bunny Pounds, any day of the week.
Bunny, you are a new hero of mine.
America is worth it. Now is the time. America needs your involvement. Please take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Join with a movement of other Christians that are doing these three simple things that can really impact this nation. Join us. Hey, everybody, Bunny Pounds with Christians Engaged. If you didn't know what Christians Engaged is, we're a ministry helping you pray, vote, and engage regularly. We've been talking a lot this year about different issues. We've been talking about the life issue. We've been talking about the transgenderism issue. But this month, we're focusing on in a series here about prayer. Our number one tenet is prayer. We say everything ends and begins with prayer around Christians Engaged. There is no other answer, folks, for America than us praying for our country, our city, our state, our nation, and our elected officials. So if you're new to the Christians Engaged podcast, if this is one of your first episodes that you've listened to us, I want to encourage you to take our pledge on our website to pray, vote, and engage. This is the beginning of everything we do with Christians Engaged. And then get into our On-Ramp to Civic Engagement seminar. We teach all about prayer, voting, and engagement for America in this class. And so I am honored to have one of our board members of Christians Engaged here, Lewis Hogan. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, how are you doing?
Woohoo! I love talking to you about prayer, brother. I could talk to you all day because you and Rachel have led a ministry called United Cry for many years, since 2012. And you've galvanized people and mobilized people around prayer. And you did that in D.C. 2 years, 2016, 2017.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. Leading pastors and ministry leaders to come to Washington, D.C. and pray. And you've mobilized people to pray about the life issue, about America, all of this. And so our hearts have just connected on that.
Sure. Yeah.
Lewis, so I want to talk about corporate prayer.
Okay.
When did you start praying corporately, and when did you catch the vision for that, that it wasn't just a prayer closet or I'm sitting around my table with my kids breaking bread and praying over the meal, but there's something about this praying together as the body of Christ?
I mean, for me personally, we pastored, my wife and I pastored for years before we started United Cry in 2012. And honestly, as a pastor, of course, we would have prayer in our services and so on, but we did not really have, during that time, what I was called corporate prayer gatherings. It really wasn't on our radar, to be honest with you.
Yes.
And but I feel like that's where a lot of pastors and churches were at least in that time. For me, growing up, I grew up in the church, and what I knew of prayer ministry in the church was this little back room, kind of usually in the back part of the church somewhere, had the name, it had prayer room on the door, and the door was always closed, and I just thought it was a scary place, you know? And the only thing I knew of people when they were like older ladies, and thank God for the older ladies that were praying.
Absolutely.
But I was just always, I remember one time I kind of opened the door and peered in, and it was just kind of a fearful place, you know, like, what is this? So that was my, growing up, that's what I thought of prayer, and what the church stood for is prayer, was that prayer room. But of course, the Lord did some work in my heart on that.
Well, and a lot of people, if you grew up in a denominational church setting, you know, you have prayer meetings on Wednesday night or different parts. You know, growing up, you know, I was a pastor's daughter and we had prayer meeting. And, you know, there might be 10 people that show up for prayer meeting, right? And you'd have 200 people on a weekend service. So it just seemed like the thing that people weren't prioritizing or really understanding you know, what is the vision, Lewis, around corporate prayer? Yeah. Why should we gather together to seek God together?
You know, for me personally, going back to when we were pastoring our church, I had what I would call, Bunny, just kind of a life-changing encounter with the Lord on a Sunday morning. And coming out of that encounter with the Lord, for me personally, the Lord began to speak to me about houses of prayer. Didn't even know what that meant, what the Lord was saying. And of course, over the next several months, became aware of what was happening in Kansas City with the International House of Prayer. And the Lord just opened up this whole door of prayer in my life that really led us to resign our church at some point, you know, several months later, to start a house of prayer, to be about a house of prayer. But that was really the Lord just really one Sunday morning just grabbed my attention and on this importance of prayer. And really, if you think about corporate prayer, really it's been happening since the early days of the church, believers coming together to pray, even from the very beginning. And all, you know, if you read the book of Acts and the Word of God, not only did they do corporate prayer, but sometimes they even did corporate prayer daily. You know, it was very important in the life of the church. And I do believe that at some point, the church, at least the Western church, the church here in America, I feel like we did not follow that model of prayer. We really kind of got off of that model. And that was a story in my own life till the Lord just grabbed my attention in that whole area. And but this corporate prayer has been happening since the early days of the church, of church history, the importance of that, you know, yes. Of coming together corporately to pray. There is a definite place where we all need to have our personal devotional time and our daily time with the Lord alone, that place of intimacy with the Lord. But that is no substitute for corporate prayer, that we have to be coming together in that place of prayer corporately.
And so for people that don't have a grid for this, we just in this series interviewed Stuart Greaves at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
And Will Ford and some others in this series, Lewis. But, you know, that's kind of weird. Okay, people in a prayer room praying 24-7.
Yeah.
That's like extreme, right? I mean, a lot of people
sure.
say that is extreme.
Sure.
You're a real Jesus person, right?
Right, yeah, 24-7.
But the reality is if you have ever been in a prayer meeting where people with like-minded vision and hearts of passion for Jesus are there, it only stirs you,
without a doubt,
right, to love God more.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think where we are, Lewis, right now is that we need some fire on the inside of us.
We do.
And we need to be around other people to help us stay fired up. And there's no better place than praying together. I mean,
no. And you know what? So what I have witnessed the last probably 20, 25 years of church at the local, of prayer at the local church level, is sadly, it's times of crisis that brings us together to pray corporately.
True.
You know, if you go back
so
to, we were pastoring our church in 2001, 9/11. And there was a massive call to prayer, and that lasted maybe for a month or two, and it just kind of went, you know, when the crosses kind of ebbed, prayer began to ebb. And that's kind of been the history of corporate prayer, is it comes together if there is a major crisis. And even when we went through the pandemic the last two or three years, of course, we weren't able to gather together corporately a lot of those times, but that's when really corporate prayer on Zoom meetings exploded,
yeah.
You know, and I was a part of many of those. I'm sure you were too, you know.
We actually exploded, Lewis. Christians Engage had just started at the beginning of 2020. And what got us on a lot of people's radars was these Zoom meetings we had with elected officials because people were freaking out, right?
Exactly.
And there was some sort of peace or hope that would come to them if they saw their elected officials pray.
Exactly.
And that was just me being obedient and saying, God, we can't go into churches right now. What do we do? And he said, put these elected officials on camera and have them pray.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think the good news of what happened the last two or three years is that I don't see, maybe a little bit, the church has kind of gone back to business as usual. But there's been a prayer movement that has been released, I believe, in our nation here and in the nations of the earth right now that I only see growing. And that so encourages my heart, a corporate prayer, whether it's on Zoom or the body coming together corporately. And it really is biblical. There's a couple of scriptures I wanted to share.
Yeah.
From Psalm 34:3, scripture says, glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Mm-hmm. And then Matthew 18:20. Of course, we all are very familiar with this scripture, for where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And then, of course, I mentioned Acts 2 a few minutes ago, Acts 2, 40 through 47. We see the church in that those in that text gathering on a regular basis for daily prayer. It talks about daily corporate prayer. So it's biblical, you know, that we must gather corporately to pray.
We were just reading as a staff Acts 2, you know, about how they broke bread together and gathered around the word of God and prayer and simple devotion to the Lord. And we tend to, you know, because of our busy world and our church culture, sometimes that is not the priority. But that's actually where we get the most spiritual life.
Amen.
Don't you think, Lewis?
Without a doubt. And there's so much that happens in that place. Really, well, I would say that place of corporate prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer, corporate prayer really helps to unify the body of Christ, together.
Yeah.
And there's something about the body coming together with one purpose, with one heart, to hear the voice of the Lord, to come together corporately to pray, that's really, well, I would say, explosive. Romans 15:6 says, talking about unity in prayer, that Romans 15:6 says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it really helps to unify the body when we come together in that corporate place of prayer. Another real, I've just wrote several benefits down.
Yes.
To that place of corporate prayer. Corporate prayer edifies and encourages those who attend corporate gatherings. And there's something about coming together. I know when I go into, there's been many times I've gone to a corporate prayer gathering and I wasn't on top of the world.
Right.
You know, there was,
absolutely,
there was a lot of things happening with my family and just some crisis situations, personal. And you go in those and you're not really necessarily full of faith, you know, you go in, but there's something about gathering corporately together with other believers that just releases something in the atmosphere corporately that draws us all up, I believe, to a higher place, you know, in our walk with the Lord and faith and so on. And so a third one I mentioned was corporate prayer disciples believers in prayer. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is what I love about corporate prayer gatherings is that you have you can have all age levels, all generations together. And then also believers that are very seasoned believers, have been walking with the Lord for years, or maybe someone that has just gotten saved, you know, and they come to that corporate place and maybe they don't even really know how do I even pray. And so they're able to be in that corporate prayer gathering and sit with other seasoned believers and just be a part of that and see how they pray, you know, and what type of prayers they're praying. I love in addition to United Cry, we're also one of the prayer pastors at Gateway.
Mm. Yes.
Grand Prairie campus. And so we do a corporate prayer gathering every Wednesday night. And we've really been teaching on, there's kind of what I would call two really basic places of prayer that I love. One of those is what I would call just praying the scriptures. You know, how do you pray? One of the easiest ways to pray is just pray from the Word of God.
Yes. You know, the greatest prayer book ever.
Exactly. There's those apostolic prayers. You know, Ephesians has several apostolic prayers of growing in the wisdom and releasing a spirit of wisdom and revelation and greater knowledge of God. Just take some of those apostolic prayers and just begin to pray scripture, you know, and it's one of the most powerful things that we can do. So we really teach, pray the scripture. You don't know what to pray, just pray, begin to pray God's word. And that's what we do a lot of times in corporate prayer gatherings. And the second one is what I would call listening prayer. And that is, and that's not necessarily easy for me to do. I don't think it's easy for many of us corporately. We've been doing this thing on Wednesday nights. I just love in that we just bring everybody together and put on, just have a little bit of worship music. And we just ask everyone not to really say anything to the Lord, but just sit and listen to what the Lord has to say. I call that listening prayer. And then we have them write down what the Lord is saying. And we have new believers in there to very seasoned believers in that room, but every one of them write down something they believe the Lord said to them. It's always so powerful, so encouraging to the whole group. So that is, you know, that is another benefit, is just discipling other believers in prayer. And then corporate prayer strengthens those who, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, who are lacking faith, you know, they're going through a situation and they're like, God, are you still on the throne? Are you still answering prayer today?
Yes.
You know, but they come into that place of corporate prayer and they begin to hear others pray, or they begin to hear others tell stories of how the Lord has answered their prayer, you know, prayers in other hearts and lives and families. And there's just something about that power of testimony in a corporate gathering when the Lord, that just helps build up those who even walk in and are questioning, God, are you going to answer my prayers? Are you hearing my prayers even, you know? And it just helps build up their personal faith. And so that's what I love about corporate prayer gatherings. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." So it just helps build up faith. And I think the other thing it does in corporate prayer is it helps build a sense of expectancy. Just that the Lord is wanting to move. Psalm 5:3 says this, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly." And I believe there's something about corporate prayer that just helps build expectancy in the lives and hearts of people, because they hear other ones sharing testimonies. Well, God answered me on this prayer. God did this over here. And it just helps build up faith. We need our faith built up. And sometimes it's from the Word, and sometimes it's from a testimony of another believer that God, how God moved on their behalf. And it just re-energizes our own faith. So
that is so good, Lewis, because I think we see throughout Scripture, you know, the psalmist says, "Early in the morning, I will rise up and seek you," right?
Right.
"When I lay down on my bed, I will seek you." I mean, there's always this reference to, you know, a time and a place. And I love Matthew 28. It's one of my favorite chapters to preach out of, you know, the Great Commission. But even here, you have the resurrected Lord calling the 11 disciples. And it says, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain that Jesus had appointed for them. And they saw him and they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, I like to talk about all the doubting Thomases there, but the reality is Jesus said, "No, okay, I want you to meet me at this time,
right,
in this place, mm-hmm. on this mountainside." And so it's we sometimes underestimate the power of a set time and a set place.
Sure. Yeah.
And there is something about us coming together and setting that side as a part of our calendar, mm-hmm. right? To
right.
say, I'm going to prioritize the gathering of myself with believers.
Yep.
And we know in the book of Hebrews, so much more, you should not be, you know, not assembling yourself together so much more as the day is approaching,
exactly.
right? You should be getting together
exactly.
more, not less. But we tend to get away and like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to hang out with the body
yeah.
of Christ.
Honestly, Bunny, I think this is kind of a little side note.
Yeah.
This thing of assembling ourselves together in corporate worship, corporate prayer, one of the things that's taken place the last couple of years that I don't believe is healthy is I'm very thankful, of course, when a lot of churches were shut down, we had many churches that went to online services, of course.
Yes, technology.
And thank the Lord, technology. But what I have seen happen since kind of everything's opened back up, especially here in Texas and since everything's opened back up, is that many people are still just staying at home watching online. And there's a place for that. I know there's elderly people that can't get out or shut-ins or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Man, I just feel like if you're healthy and you're able to get your family to church and your kids to church, we have to come together in corporate worship. And we can't, that, you know, online is not a substitute for that. And so I know, as you said, the day and the time we're living in, we need community. We need to come together corporately to pray together, to believe together, build our faith together, you know?
Oh, yeah. I value everything we're doing in this ministry, Lewis. Of course, we all do. But it does not take the substitute for your local church and community.
Right.
I mean, if you don't have a relationship
yep.
with people, you know?
Sure.
If they don't know your face, you don't know their face.
Right.
You don't know their story. They don't know your story. You're in essence, you know, a single Christian by yourself.
Yeah.
That the enemy can easily come in and just pick you off and nobody's
exactly.
going to miss you, right?
Exactly.
And so there's, even in these mega churches, and you're in a big mega church, we need to know each other. We need
exactly.
to strive to know each other and to walk with people in those churches.
And I ask people, you know, one of my questions to that, talking about relationship and community, is I'll ask someone, okay, so your child gets sick at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're rushing into the hospital. Who do you call? Is there someone you have to call that you know is going to begin to pray for you, to pray for this, or even meet you at the hospital
right.
to walk this through with you, you know? So we have to have community and relationship. And that doesn't happen just unless you are intentional about doing it and
right.
going to church at the local church level, building relationships. We have to have that.
So what's the power, Lewis, of when we come together and we pray specifically for our city or our state or our nation? And then you then talk about also we come together as the big church. We call it the big C church, right?
Right.
The church of the
right.
area, not right. a certain denomination, not a certain local church, but we're coming together as the church in that area to pray together. And that can kind of get kind of messy, right? I mean, you got people with different belief
right.
systems. Some people believe in, the Holy Spirit manifesting different ways than other people. And, you know, it can get uncomfortable
sure.
for some of us. So what is the value of that?
Well, and this is the, you know, our nation is incredibly divided right now. You're right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. We all are, you know. And politically, it's very, very much divided, of course. And it trickles down to the church, where I think the church in some ways is divided in this hour we're living in. But so what is it that brings us together, and how do we come together in unity? And I really believe that if you go back to what I shared a few minutes ago about, we don't come together and pray necessarily our political beliefs.
Right.
We come together to pray,
scripture.
Hopefully scripture and the word of God. This right here is what has to bring us together, you know? And if we will come together and pray biblical values of scripture, what's in the scripture right here, I think it just diffuses a lot of, disunity and
yes.
angst and all of that, because we have to come together. And let's come together around the word. Let's pray the word together. And I believe it just helps to unify. So that's at least one major area I would say when we come together corporately, because that's why I love praying scripture. It just, how do you argue with that? You pray
True.
The scripture, you know? And so that would be one part of my, wisdom, I guess, if you want to say that, to pray the scriptures when we come together. It just diffuses so much of any type of disunity or angst, whatever it is, you know?
And so even teaching people that are leading prayer on a microphone or they're leading prayer to pray scripture, don't just pray all your opinions or...
Exactly. No, it's true, you know, because it's easy to go there. It's easy to, you know, because we all have our personal convictions and leanings and all of that. And so sometimes that does manifest itself mm-hmm. in someone leading in prayer, you know, it's kind of like, I call it gossip prayer. You know, sometimes we come together and someone starts, I want to pray for this, and they just kind of unload their whole baggage.
I'm going to pray
you know?
For the pastor.
Exactly.
And like a whole thing
no.
about everything that's going
no,
on.
No, just
right
stick
now.
To scripture, stick to the word of God and scripture, yeah. and it's safe ground.
Yeah, that's so good.
And it's powerful ground too, because that's just the word of God we're praying, you know?
Yeah, it's so good. Well, and I know part of our, we both love John 17, that oneness really is not sameness. We sometimes think we have to be the same to
right.
come together. That's not true.
No, not
oneness
at all.
Is of the Spirit. Of we're the... one in the Spirit. And if we're united around the truth of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
who Jesus is, that's the most important thing.
Amen.
So what are people, there's people that just don't understand the word intercession too. Lewis, I mean, what do you think there's some things in prayer and intercession that just people just don't understand? When you just start telling them, hey, I've been leading prayer gatherings. By the way, Lewis and Rachel did a whole prayer gathering. You can go back and listen to our podcast we did a year or so ago about, yeah, about this prayer gathering we did in the center of Texas. But, you know, that doesn't even make sense to some people. So when you say, hey, I do prayer and intercession as my full-time occupation in ministry, what challenges do you have to get over in people's minds sometimes?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, for me personally, I mean, I do love prayer, and I do believe it's something that we grow in, you know, as we come before the Lord and pray. And that's why I love even what we're teaching right now on Wednesday nights with praying from the scripture and just listening prayer. Because the Lord wants to speak to our hearts,
yes.
you know, and so many believers say, you know, I don't really know if I ever hear from the Lord, and does he really speak? Yes, he does, mm-hmm. you know, and we can develop our spiritual ear to hear the voice of the Lord. So for me, I love prayer, but I've had to grow in prayer. Like I said, that wasn't my natural bent, you know, when we were pastoring and so on. Yeah, we'd pray over the offering, we'd pray at the altar. But that wasn't my natural bent. The Lord began to develop that in my heart, just that mm-hmm. love for prayer. And I felt the Lord can do that in any any of our lives, you know. But it's also that place, really for me personally, of I love to take young believers, new believers, those who have not been in the prayer room, and let's just come together and begin to pray and see what the Lord says.
Yes.
So it's, you know, you use the word intercession. You use the, you know, how do you pray all the time, or how do you, that's your life. But it really is my life, but it's something I've had to develop. And I think and that's not some special ability. I think the Lord can do that in any of our hearts, you know.
Yes.
And I love, I tell people, yes, there's a place we need corporate prayer. I think where that real love for prayer and time with the Lord is that intimate place of intimacy, where each one of us, one of the ways to really culture that and develop that, I believe, is those going into that place of personal devotion, personal prayer time. And you mentioned like a set time, you know, they had a set time and place.
Yes.
I believe all of us need that in our personal lives. We need that place. For me, and I encourage people to do it early in the morning if at all
me
possible,
too.
Because
yeah.
There's just something special about that. So I have my special place I go to and spend time with the Lord every morning. I put on some worship music, and that has been more of a, quote, benefit to me than anything in developing my prayer life. It's just spending time, personal time with the Lord. And when I come together corporately, all of that kind of flows out of that personal time with the Lord. It's not just starting from scratch,
right,
you know?
Right,
it's we have to have that personal time. And if I could say anything to any believer right now, it's develop that personal time with the Lord, because yes, we have to come together corporately, but every day you need that personal time. That's where intimacy with the Lord, where you're hearing his voice and just feeling his presence. There's no substitute for that in our Christian walk. And as that develops, then prayer really becomes natural.
Yes.
Prayer becomes joyful. And it's like that thing of praying with unceasingly. You just do it. You're in your car, and you just, you know, it's just a natural thing. Any believer, the Lord wants to develop that in any of our hearts and lives.
It's so great, and I've seen that in your family where you guys just, hey, we got to pray about this right now. You know, we're at coffee. Hey, this is happening.
Yeah.
Let's pray.
You
know, it just becomes a lifestyle, and I want to encourage the younger people that might be listening to us too, that worship music is actually prayer.
Sure.
You know, worship is prayer. And so talk to God, communicate to him through worship, and you're magnifying him, glorifying him, even through what you decide to put in on your car. Instead of listening to the top 40 biggest hits
exactly.
right now on the country music, you know, channel, turn on your worship music.
Amen.
And start spending that time with the Lord. So I just want to close out today, Lewis, as we close out, just to ask the Lord to give us a hunger for more times of prayer in our individual lives and our church communities, that we would be hungering and thirsting after his righteousness, right?
Amen, amen.
And that we would want more.
Yeah, and buddy, you know me. We know each other pretty well. And one scripture that I feel is so relevant to today for all of us as believers and the church is Joel 2.
Yep.
And our nation is in a time of crisis right now, and we all know it, and it's very divided. But even the scripture tells us what to do. When we are living in a country or nation, it's a prophetic book, that Joel 2, of saying, when your nation is in crisis, what are we to do? And Word of God is clear. It says, gather everyone together, from the babes to the priests, the pastors, in that place of prayer, and begin to cry out to the Lord. It's that place of corporate prayer to the Lord.
Yes.
That he would have mercy on our nation. He would release blessing on our nation, and things would begin to turn in the nation. But it has to be that corporate place of prayer with hearts of repentance it talks about. And so we're just in a season right now where, and the word in Joel 2 calls those things solemn assemblies of just coming together.
Yes.
But that's the season we're in right now. We have to be coming together corporately to pray for our nation, pray on behalf of our nation, and that's where we're at. And so that's even more impetus, I think, for each of us to really, we have to gather together to pray.
Yeah.
And ultimately to see, of course, revival and awakening. And prayer, that's what releases revival and awakening, is corporate prayer. if you look at every major move of the Holy Spirit, a great awakening or a great revival, it came out of the place of corporate prayer. It really did. So we have to go to that. We have to be about that in this season right now that we're in to see revival and waking birthed out, because ultimately that's our only hope.
No,
I believe
it
for
is,
our nation.
It is our only hope, so, Lewis. And those of us that have been in government and politics for years can tell you it is the only hope, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
There are too many issues. There's too many problems, and we have to have a move of God.
Amen.
So we just want to stir you guys this month to really focus in on this thing called prayer and intercession, because when we talk to God and we talk to God together, things happen.
Amen.
And we believe that God is not done with this nation. We have we have hope, right, Lewis?
We have great hope.
We have great hope.
Yeah, I do.
And I love hanging around prayer people because we are the most hopeful people.
Yes.
Because we have actually talked to God about what's happening, and we are hearing from him that he's not done. The story is not done.
And I believe that's why the prayer movement in our nation right here and nations of the earth, it is exploding right now.
Yes.
And I believe if the Lord is, he's calling us to the place of prayer, and that in that place, there's just we build our faith that God is not done with our nation here in America. I don't believe that he is at all.
No.
That we can experience miracles and a great turnaround if we'll do what he tells us to do, and that's come together to pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, Lewis, pray for us as we close this out, just for anyone listening to us that they want a greater revelation on this thing. They're listening to us and going, man, that sounds cool. They're so excited, but I don't really have that in my heart right now, or I've never experienced a real free corporate prayer meeting. I want to experience that.
Right.
Let's just pray for them.
Yeah. Amen. So, Father, I just feel led to what I would call release the spirit of prayer upon every listener right now, Lord, that's listening to this podcast, Lord Jesus. Father, I believe that you are calling your church in this hour to a greater place of corporate prayer, coming together to pray, Lord. As I mentioned in Joel 2, Lord, you say, when a nation is in crisis, this is to be the response of the church, of God's people, is to come together to pray. So, Father, I just release that spirit of prayer upon every listener right now in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
God.
I pray that there would, the joy, when we're talking about prayer, Bunny and I, and Lord, there, I love talking about prayer, and I love to pray, Lord, and there's joy and there's in my heart when I talk about it, Lord. I want each listener, Lord, begin to experience that joy of prayer, Lord, in the coming days and weeks, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, help each one, Lord, to, yes, develop that place of intimacy with the Lord. That's that place of daily personal prayer time. But, Lord, we have to come together in that corporate gatherings. And, Lord, I thank you for what is happening across this nation. I see the prayer movement, prayer gatherings exploding across the nation, Lord.
Yes, God.
And Father, you are wanting to touch this nation. You are wanting to pour out your spirit, Lord. You're wanting to send revival and a great awakening, Lord Jesus. And it will all flow out of that place of corporate prayer. So, Father, we just say yes and amen to that. We release that even right now, Lord, that you would touch hearts that are listening, Lord, for that just that renewed joy and that renewed desire, Lord, to come together to pray and to hear what you're saying, Lord, to hear your voice, Lord, and to make declarations and prayers from your scripture, Lord, that touch our lives, touch our families, and touch our nation.
Yes.
So, Father, we say yes, Lord, release that spirit of prayer in a greater measure upon every one of our hearts, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So good. Well, I just want to encourage you guys, again, take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Every Monday, we send you a prayer with biblical language in a scripture of what to pray for our city, state, and nation. If you go on our social media feeds every Monday at 5:55, we actually have a video now of Ben or I praying, somebody from our team praying that prayer to help you articulate it. But we need to come together, and I just want to encourage you, go to your pastor. If you don't have a prayer meeting going on in your church, say, hey, we're going to start with two or three people. Gather a few people. If you're a busy mom with little kids, get one friend that you can pray with every week. Men, get together and have coffee and pray with a man. that loves God, and watch God build something internally inside your life that will keep you strong in these days. And we're going to believe for the best for America. I want to encourage you guys also, go to our donate page. We have our 2023 strategies and opportunities book on for download on our donate page. I want you to check out everything we're doing with Christians Engaged and consider helping us. Consider becoming a monthly donor. Consider funding a project or a part of a project for what we're doing this year, because we have a lot of curriculum to build and we've got a lot of people to reach this year, but we want to reach a million Christians by the beginning of the presidential election in 2024. So we got a lot to do in the coming years, but we want you to join with us and help us. Let's pray, vote, and engage regularly, and we'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible podcast. What in the time we've had. We love you so much. We love being in your life. Have you subscribed? Have you shared this with your family and friends? Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your audio or video pods. We need your help. This mission is undergirded by individuals just like you that support this ministry monthly, annually, and whenever you think about us, to be able to reach over a million Christians in the next 2 years. That's our goal. We want to empower a million Christians around America to pray, vote, and engage regularly. Will you help us? We're here to do that, and we need your help. I want to say thank you to our partners at The Stream. What an incredible online publication put out by James Robison and Life Outreach International. As we come together across denominational lines as believers to discern what God's saying about the news of the day and to hear from different viewpoints, check out The Stream, make it your homepage, and get on their email list. This product is amazing. Also, our partners at Edify App, put out by Christian Post. This podcast app is a convergence of Bible teachers around America. We're excited to be a part of Edify App. Check out all their other podcasts. Thank you so much again for caring about this nation. We're here to help you pray, vote, and engage. We'll see you next week.